This episode is recorded before a live audience.
Welcome to These Are Good Days with Lee Ann Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt.
Yes, Lee Ann.
I did a detox on my pits today. I did.
What?
I did.
What even is that?
I did. So there's a brand called Mega Babe. If you are listening. There's a brand called Mega Babe, and they have this like clay. Well, I always try to do something a little special on a day like today, okay, because it just makes me feel like I'm doing something extra special for the people. I mean, not for the people in the room, really more like...
More me. I'm the closest person to you, so yeah, thank you for that.
Yes. So it's like this cool thing, and it's in a tube, and you squeeze it, and it's like it's like clay, and you rub it on your pits,
okay,
and then you wait for like 5 minutes, and it's supposed to kind of pull out any like... I don't know, aluminum, anything toxic.
Okay.
And I did a pit detox.
So my follow-up question, because you know I always have further questions, is how are your pits feeling today? Are they more or less sweaty than normal?
They feel sweaty. I think it's because I cleaned
you
them out.
You took the barrier out.
Yeah,
you've opened the pores. You've unleashed the molecules. And now they're a little sweatier than normal. Well,
it's called happy pits.
I know this isn't shocking, but I don't know what Mega Babe is, and
I'm
really happy for you. If you want to know my special grooming for this night,
yeah,
I also did a special grooming
thing.
Oh,
okay.
I trim my nose hairs.
Perfect.
So I'm 40, and I have to trim my nose hairs now, and so I did.
So
I took a little thingy up in there, so we both did our little regimens today.
Yeah, right. I mean, I just feel like my pits are clean.
I'm so happy for you. So happy for you. Hey, tell me your good day.
Wait, are we going to
do good
day? Do
you need me to
go
first?
Yeah, you can go first.
You need me to go first. Okay, my good day is today. So where we are right now is we had our fourth live podcast event with a room full of people, and we have almost 50 people in the room with us, and it is so exciting to have the energy of people that listen to us weekly and know us from our podcasts and friends in real life that are just really supportive too. So it's so fun. So if you aren't familiar with this, what this weekend looks like is we got together this morning with some of about half the people shopped Amish Country with us today.
So fun.
And then the other half or everybody came. So the rest of everybody came and we came to the Nest in downtown Worcester and we had a beautiful, huge charcuterie board from Walnut Creek Cheese. You know, Walnut Creek Cheese, if you are listening, we love you. We love you long. We love you strong.
Yes.
Thank you. I know, right? Thank you for being with us since the very beginning.
Yes.
Because they are the people that when we get a crazy idea, they've never, don't tell them this, but they've never said no yet. I don't want it to start. So maybe that's like knock on wood. But when we have these crazy ideas, they're like, yes, what do you need? We'll drop off. We have a table full of 55 cinnamon rolls.
Because...
Bring maple
or don't come at all.
So we have all of those things. They gave us an $800 mixer to give away tonight. So we've shopped at Walnut Creek Cheese. We took people to our favorite places. Then we came up here to the Nest and we're recording with 50 of our friends. And so it's really just a fun, special moment. For me, here we go.
Are you going to cry?
Something in particular that's really fun is my kids are at an age where this is their first time they've ever gotten to come. And they are, my son Fitz is a third grader and he has a Chromebook at school. And the other day, and when he was on his free time, he went into Google and he typed in Matt Barris. And when you type in Matt Barris in Google, this podcast comes up. Aww. And he came home and he said, Dad, like, are you famous? And I was like, oh no, Fitz. I just have a very uncommon name. So when you type Matt Barris, this is going to come up.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so what's special about it is my kids are so supportive. And of course, my wife. But it's so special to have my kids at an age where they're here. And they're so supportive and so
helpful.
So fun. They are. They're great kids.
I have a question.
Okay. Oh, I love a follow-up.
Would you put the places that we went to visit today in the show notes?
Of course I will. Okay. I'll put the whole itinerary.
Well, will you also put happy pits from Mega Babe in the show notes?
I'll pray about it.
Okay. Thank you.
That makes me feel a little weird.
Yeah. Really?
If you need a pit detox, yeah. Go to the show notes.
Yes. There you go.
Okay. I'm starting my list.
Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
My good day was on a few days before this event. I had a friend from South Carolina with her two daughters fly into town, and they got into town about 1 o'clock. I got there, I know, shocking.
Were you on time?
About 1:10. I was,
never changed.
I know. And how many of you all, like, with a ringing of the bell, have eaten at Rebecca's?
Ooh, oh yeah.
Okay, Rebecca's if you're listening. And I was like, oh, I have to take y'all to Rebecca's. So from the Cleveland airport, and if anybody knows how I drive, it's usually not very fast.
It's so slow. We've talked about this.
I put the pedal to the metal so I could get there by 3 o'clock so we could have lunch at Rebecca's.
I'm impressed.
Thank you.
I'm impressed.
So we ate at Rebecca's, then we ran down to Walnut Creek Cheese and Market for something, I can't even remember what. And then we went to a cattery. And for
a cattery.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know what a cattery is, it's a place that sells cats. And these cats were like big cats, like Maine Coon cats.
So you're not talking like the Humane Society.
No.
You were talking bougie kitties.
Yes.
Yeah. These are bougie cats.
So we go to this cattery, and this was an afterthought. Like, this was like, Pauline texted me, is like, do you think we could go to the cattery? And I'm like, well, let me text and see. And they were like, sure, you can come. And so we go, and over 2 hours later,
oh my,
Daryl was like calling me like, are we going to have supper or do I need to eat something?
Oh, my.
But we went to the cattery. We had so much fun.
I have a lot of follow-up questions. Okay. Were you covered in fur?
Kind of.
Were your eyes itchy? Because my eyes would have been swollen
itchy eyes.
Shut
but
after
we,
2 hours.
We lint rolled as soon as we got home.
Okay, that's
many
good.
Of you are familiar with Mr. Butters, and I was petrified that Mr. Butters was going to smell cats on us and be naughty.
Well, and just but pee everywhere. That's what he does. He just pees everywhere.
No, he doesn't.
Well, he's on Prozac now.
Yes.
We're so thankful for that.
We've got things under control.
Yes.
But he was a perfect gentleman when we got home, and we had a lovely supper and just sat around and visited, and it was just a good day.
Well, and that kind of leads into our topic for tonight. Yes. You know, we said prior to starting recording is on Instagram and on survey that we've done with Patreon, people have requested for us to talk about first is family relationships and strained relationships. Mm-hmm. And we have talked about that quite a bit. The second most requested thing that we talk about is friendships. Mm-hmm. And so tonight we're going to spend some time talking about friendship. The cool part about events like this is as we've spent time with people, there are people that have come with a friend. And I love that because
most people
like grabbed a friend and came along. Mm-hmm. And I love that because it just speaks to friendship. It speaks to spending time together. It speaks to just enjoying each other's company and doing fun things together. And so tonight we want to dive a little bit into friendship. And before we start, we wanted to tell a little bit about our friendship.
Yeah.
You know, we have a unique friendship.
We do.
Very unique. Yes. I am the oldest child, and so I don't have a big sister.
I'm a middle child.
Yeah. And, you know.
Surprise.
Yeah. We play our roles very well. I am the oldest son, and you are the middle child daughter. Mm-hmm. And so why don't you start first with how we met? Because you have a story about that.
Okay. So we were very involved with our church at the time, and our boys were, you know, in youth group. And we loved our youth group at our church. And they hired this new guy, which was Matt. And you know, he was great. But I was like, oh, great.
Yeah, I'd been there maybe 2 or 3 months.
And so I served on the creative team at church. And I came in one Monday, and he and I were talking in the office. And I looked like I don't know if any of y'all remember The Land of the Lost, but there was a show called The Land of the Lost. I looked like a sleaze stack that day. I mean, I think my ponytail was like crooked. I'd been painting. I did not have happy pits, but no, I was to show up at this meeting. So I show up at this meeting and I meet Matt in the office and, we get to talking about, I had been working outside, and we got to talk about pulling weeds and flower bedding. And he said, oh, my grandmother works in the flower beds all the time. And, you know, go ahead and stand up, and can you please
do? Are you serious?
Yes. And he
this
did.
This is so inappropriate.
He said, this is how my grandmother pulls weeds. This is literally one of the first interactions. Yes. And literally, I was like, I'm gonna be friends with this person, I think forever. Like, this is so funny. This is hilarious. And then fast forward, Mother's Day came, and you had not been at work for very long.
Yeah, I can pick up the story there. So this is truly my first memory. Besides that,
that will always be my first memory.
Yeah, at the time. So the second interaction that we had is my parents were living in New Jersey and my parents weren't able to be there for Mother's Day. And so this was my first year in like a big boy job after
college.
Yeah,
were you 22 or 23?
I was 22. So I was 22 right out of college. My parents had moved to New Jersey. I didn't really have anywhere to go on Mother's Day. And Leanne was like, well, we're not doing anything. Why don't you come to my house for Mother's Day? So it was literally Leanne and Daryl and their boys and me. And I said, well, what's for lunch? And you're like, I don't know, whatever I want. And I was like,
it's
okay.
Mother's Day. It's my day.
So I go over after church and I'm expecting maybe a meal. Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't a meal. It was Leanne was baking bread. And then mm-hmm. she's like, you know, I'm kind of hungry for a chocolate cake.
Yeah, that's exactly what
happened. And then I think you maybe made like something pasta.
I made chocolate chip cookies. Yeah. I made a pasta dish all day long.
It was
I made what I wanted.
That's right.
It was basically all day. It was all carbs pretty much.
Yep.
And I think that pretty much sealed our friendship.
Yeah, right. I was like, well, I'm sold. If you're going to make me chocolate cake on a Sunday after church, I'm there. So that's truly how our friendship formed. And there's, for those of you keeping track at home, there's 17 years between us. Because I'm 40 and you're 57.
Yeah, you were 22.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. There it
57,
is.
57. You're listening. And so it's what was so fun is her boys were in the youth group when I was the youth pastor.
Yes.
And then, like, long story short, my roommate at the time got engaged and I needed to find a place to live because he's like, well, I'm getting married. And Leanne and Daryl had an apartment above their garage and they're like, well, why don't you live with us? So I lived there for about 2 years until I got married.
Yeah.
And so
it was so
it truly
fun.
Like forged our friendship.
Yeah, we had so much fun. And you know, you never really know somebody until you live with them.
That's right.
And we really, really had fun. I'm glad you're still around.
I'm glad you're still around. We've been in the trenches. So as we think about friendships, I think there's a couple things that are super important about friendship. And the first one that we talked about, especially in adult friendships are so unique and different. You know, adult friendships are different because when you're a kid, when you're in high school, and when you're in college, proximity truly creates the opportunity. You know, when you're in college and you're like, I'm going to go to the dorm and I'm going to go to the cafeteria or whatever. It's like, well, whoever's around is your friends.
Right, right, right.
But if all of us are adults now, as you get married, you get a job, you go into the working world and your life just gets busier and different than middle school, high school, college. It truly takes a lot of intention.
Right.
And it takes a lot of purpose behind forging friendships with people. And so I think friendships have to be, the proximity turns into the quality of friendships versus the quantity of friendships. I don't know about you all, but my level of friendships have truly, as I've turned, you know, got married and had kids, turned 30, turned 40, the number of friendships that I have gotten smaller. You know, I have a lot of acquaintances, but those people that I call, because the quality over quantity of friends truly is what makes the difference. And then after that, it's accepting all the different seasons of life that you go through.
Right.
And I think that is what truly forges a friend. If they're willing to stick with you through the different seasons of life, that's huge.
Yes.
That's huge. I know for us, something that we've thought about with friends in season. I think about my friend Grant, and I actually asked Grant to come tonight, but he was unable to.
Babysitter.
It was a babysitter thing. But my friend Grant and I were really, really close when I was living with you, and I was a young single.
And you guys were single.
Yeah, we were both single guys, and then we both got married, and we just got busy.
Okay, listen, I have to just pause you.
Yeah.
Grant he and his future wife were renting a place that was kind of next door to us when Matt was living with us. And Amy didn't really want Grant to live in the house that they were renting before they got married. So Grant lived with us for a second too. And we had this new hire at the church sitting in our kitchen, like in our living room area, kitchen area. And Grant came in the house and he was like, hey, and just gets in the refrigerator, gets some stuff he wants. And you know, this guy did not know, he knew our boys, but he did not know Grant. Gets what he wants, leaves the room. And the guy goes, is he supposed to be here? because really that's the kind of friendship we even had with Grant.
Totally.
Like, but you guys, your friendship is how I became friends with Grant, was through you.
Right. And Grant was in my wedding. And truthfully, after we got married, we kind of fell off.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of fell off on, I think all of us probably can think of a friend where you're really close. And then it just, well, there was nothing happened.
Well, yeah. It was just there distance.
It was season shift. It was moving. Busy. We moved to Worcester. And what was really cool is about, we've talked about this, him on the podcast before too, is about 2 years ago, he reached out and was like, I miss you. Like, I miss you in my life. He started.
This is when you went to the bar.
Oh my word. It is. I don't even know what to say about this. Well, it was probably around the time you smoked a cigarette.
Yeah.
So there you go. So Grant reached out and he was like, I really miss you. Like, it's been a minute and we need to reconnect. And so we reconnect and we text a lot, but we probably see each other 3 or 4 times a year now. And his family's met my family, his kids have met my kids. And when you can weather those seasons together, there's something really special when you can pick up where you left off.
I also think that I feel like not that I didn't take friendships seriously when I was in high school and college, but you know, when you're young, you're not really thinking about how important things are.
Well, and when you're young, you're like, this person's fun. And sometimes that's the motivator.
Right.
You know, when you like have a fun friend that you're like, we have a lot in common. This is really fun.
Well, and you think you've got all the time in the world when you're 23 or 25.
That's right.
And I think as you get older, I think friendship has a different level of importance.
100%.
And we took time and asked a bunch of people.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for a couple of
about friendship and what things that are important in friendship. And I have an incredible breakfast club. And I know I talk about the breakfast club on here or on the podcast often. But so last breakfast club, I posed this question. And I'm going to quote Wilma. Wilma's here. Wilma, come on, give us a wave. Wilma's back there. There's Wilma. Wilma and Kat are both here, and they're part of the counselor cluster. So if you need a counselor, they're your girls. Emily was supposed to be here tonight. She's also our third leg of the counselor cluster, and she got a flat tire.
Yeah,
she's in Columbus. We miss you, Emily. Okay, I asked Wilma about friendship, and I just thought this was so good. So I actually am going to read what she said because I loved it. The older I get, the more I feel intolerant of being with people who do not help me become more of who I want to be. Mm. Or who are interested in doing that for themselves. Hmm. When you're younger, you feel like you have all the time to spend. And as I've gotten older, there's more of an urgency to be intentional. So the one thing I love about this is that I feel like down in my bones, like I want to be friends with people that help me become a better me.
100%.
Like when we went and celebrated Kat's birthday and we're all sitting around a table, we were talking about ways just to be better. And when I left there and drove home there for an hour and a half, I just felt like the whole way home. Well, I didn't drive. Actually, you did, Kat. I think I actually kind of dozed off a couple times. But I felt so refreshed and good. So there's something about a friend that helps you become a better you.
100%.
And then there's also something about a friend who's interested in that for themselves as well.
Absolutely.
So, like, Kat will say to me sometimes, like, oh, I learned this move from you. Or I learned this thing from you. This is what you do. And it makes me feel like, oh, I have built into Kat too. And that makes me feel like I'm a good friend as well. But I am 57. I'm going to be 58 in August. And that's 2 years from 60.
Yeah.
So I don't want to waste any time.
That's right.
I'm a ball baby.
That's okay.
Okay, so... there.
You know, you, let's keep the cry fest going.
Okay. Oh.
Because this is what I told you I was going to talk to you about the topic, but I didn't want to tell you what I was talking about. As friendships, as you think about friendships that have come and gone from your life, I had to think about your friend, Amy. And if you are familiar with the story of Amy, Amy Schlebaugh's, probably people in the room know Amy. Amy had cystic fibrosis. And how old was Amy?
Well, it was akin to, she would correct you if she was here. So it was akin to, she had the same doctors that cystic fibrosis patients have, but it was a chronic lung disease.
And you know, Amy was the kind of person that the doctor said she would live to be this age, and she exceeded it. She ended up living a long time compared to what the doctors told
her.
But if you knew Amy, Amy was a big personality. She was incredibly smart. She was a math major turned artist.
Yeah.
They actually sell her art still
At
Be Fearless at Home. Yeah. There's even some signed copies left of her art.
I saw that.
Which is really special.
And there's a great picture of her in there.
Yeah. But there is, there's something I came across on Instagram recently that was a man that filmed himself in his kitchen, just cleaning his kitchen, and he did a voiceover that said, my friend's been gone for 4 years, but it still hurts. And why does it still hurt? And I came, and he quoted this.
What are you doing?
I printed this quote off because I thought it was really important. So this is a quote from C.S. Lewis, who I love C.S. Lewis. He was so wise. And he wrote a book called The Four Loves. And I think this is really special, and it reminded me of you and Amy. And the quote says, in friendship, each friend discovers in the other qualities that no one else in the entire world can fully bring out. It's only being with certain friends that we can see certain sides of ourselves. And I think when I think about you and Amy, or if someone thinks about someone that they've lost, that they loved, it could be even a family member, you are never... there's no friendship that will ever bring out what Amy brought in you.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's no friendship that Amy had with anyone else that you brought out in her. Right. And I think when I think about friendships, there's, you know, I grieve people that are living that are friends of mine. I have guys from college that I'm not in touch with anymore. Mallory and I were just talking about men from my wedding that because of life, just life takes you. And when I think about those friendships that I have, it's that there's something about that one-on-one connection that you have with, like, as good of friends as we are, and we've been friends for almost 20 years now, as good of friends as we are, I am not Amy. And I will never be Amy.
No.
And you won't give to me what you gave to Amy.
Right.
Just like with any of your other friends. And I think we grieve those people because there's something you only have with that person that
so
no
true.
One else will ever understand. You know, your spouse won't understand it. Your parents won't understand it. And so when you think about that specific friend, there's something that they bring out in you. You know, I was thinking about when we were with our friends, Kat and Emily. I was thinking about Mallory. Because as much as, you know, Mallory's and I have been married for 13 years, but... and I'll talk about Kat, because she's right here. Kat always says they've been friends for probably 16 years or maybe longer. And Kat always teases me. She's like, I loved her first. You know, I loved Mallory first. And there's something so special about how Mallory laughs when she's with Kat.
Yeah,
the jokes that they have with each other, the history they have with each other that I don't have with Mallory. And I'm not jealous of it. And I love it. And I celebrate it. Yeah. And I love watching my wife with one of her best friends.
Yeah.
And there's something that Kat brings out in my wife that I love.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so special about friendships in particular. You know, I hope I'm not stealing your thunder, but you asked Pauline's daughters something.
Yes.
And her daughter, Sarah, said, friendship is a privilege. It is not an entitlement.
Yeah.
And what a privilege it is to have friends. Yeah. What a privilege it is to have friends that have lasted your life, weathered seasons with you, that have history on you and maybe even dirt on you that nobody else knows, but they love you anyway.
Right.
You know, I think about friendships, even our friendships. You knew me when I was 22 and now I'm a wise 40.
But now you're gray. You have gray hair and less of it.
How dare you? Actually, how dare you? But to have those friends that have weathered, you know, you can't make old friends.
Yeah,
they just are. And they've been around. And so I thought about you a lot with that C.S. Lewis quote, because Amy brought out something special in you that nobody else ever has and nobody else ever will.
Amy, first of all, Amy and I got in one fight, pretty much one fight. And we would laugh when we would talk about it. And we fought over the Book of Proverbs.
What a fight.
Irony in fighting over a book of the Bible. And she, the one thing about her, and one thing that I now know after she's died, why did you do this to me? Is that when you're aware that someone is not going to be with you forever, you know, like when we're healthy and we're here and we're sitting next to somebody who is doing well, you don't have the keen awareness that they might not, you know, they might not be here anymore.
Right.
And when Amy was dying, it was so sweet that we had conversations that we were like, let's cover everything. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that we don't leave anything unsaid. And now I can look back and be so content and so happy knowing that we said it all. We said everything. We apologized again for fighting over Proverbs to each other, but we really didn't leave anything unsaid.
Yeah.
And there's something so sweet about that now when I think of her, that we were very aware of that she wasn't doing well, and we just said everything that we needed to say to each other.
Yeah.
And now that just gives me great peace, and I can look back on her and just smile and just be so happy, but also be sad. I'm so sad.
Yeah, still. And that's okay. That's okay. You know, I did a little research, shocker, and I Googled what are the things people are Googling about friends.
Yeah.
You know,
so
this
good.
Is a fascinating thing. If you're
y'all, my makeup was so good earlier.
We're fine. No, this is a podcast. We're fine. Only 50 people know what you look like right now. I'm a curious person. So every now and then I'm like, what are people Googling about food? You know, you type This is very meta. So you go to Google and you type, what are people Googling about food? And I did, what are people Googling about friendships? Like, what are the questions people are asking? What are people curious about? And a few things came up. But the first thing I want to talk about is the benefits of friendship and how important it is to have friends in your life. And one of the first thing that came up that I think so pertinent for where we are in the world right now, that's a very broad statement, but where we are in the world right now is that friendship can, if we're intentional, help us avoid an echo chamber.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes in life, it can be very tempting to surround yourself with people that are just like you. Mm-hmm. It can be very tempting, but I have found for myself what enriches my life is surrounding myself with people that might look at the world a little differently than me. Because I think it stretches my brain and it helps me see empathy in a different way. It helps me that whole walk in someone else's shoes to see the world. I guess this is the Kat podcast, but our friend Kat often helps me see the world in a different way.
Yeah,
I'll say to Kat things like, I'm going to say this, and you know my heart, and I'm going to ask you a question that might not be polished, and it might not be politically correct, but what do you think about this? And we have these great discussions because we trust each other's heart.
She's so patient with us.
She is, with us. Oh, yes. You are so patient with us. And I think sometimes when we choose friendships, it's important to choose people that help us avoid an echo chamber.
Yeah,
because I think sometimes when we're surrounded by people that just think like us and just look like us and are just have the same answers as us or have the same perspective than us, it doesn't help us stretch and grow.
Right.
But when we surround ourselves with people that might have a different perspective, maybe someone of a different color, of a different race, of a different income level, of a different geographical place, all of those things, I think it helps enrich our lives for the better.
That's good.
It helps us stretch our brain.
Here's the other thing.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Another benefit is physical benefits. Did you know that when you have friends, it actually helps you live longer? And this actually made me think of someone else special in my life who is also a crier like myself. And that's my father-in-law who's here. My father-in-law is here and we're both criers. So they say, marry someone like your dad. And I think my wife
He's probably crying now.
He is. what's so special about my father-in-law and friendships in particular is he has a group of men that have been friends, some of them since elementary school. And I'm not saying that he's old, but he's living a long time with these men that he surrounded himself with.
Yeah, so
and they
good.
Go on golfing trips and they, I don't know all the things that they do, but I know he says he tries to help them be quiet at night when they're around the bonfire. So it may get a little rowdy, I'm not sure. But what I love about that is he has these men in his life that have been around forever, and research and studies would show that they're actually helping him live longer. So stay with your friends, because we want you around for a long time, Ed. My grandkids want you around, or your grandkids want you around too. But you know, when you have those friends, it helps you live longer. And it could be something as simple as people saying, have you gone to the doctor?
Me?
Or no, not
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I have.
But friends. Or
recently a mammogram. Thank you.
Oh, first the pits and now that. Well,
terrible.
The other thing is, I think when you're laughing with your friends, you're releasing cortisol from your body that you're holding. It helps you de-stress.
I want to have fun with my friends.
I know.
Well, you
have said that you keep me around because I keep you laughing, but I'd like to think I offer more than that.
You do.
Okay, thank
you. But
you
do make me really laugh. You make me laugh. It's usually, you just sometimes just have to look at me and I laugh.
I know. It's so true. And, you know, the other thing about friends is they just help shape us in different ways than what we would if we didn't have friends in our life.
Good.
And I think that's really important.
We were talking recently that there, and I don't know the source, maybe we can find the source and you can credit the show notes with it.
Of course.
But that, how to keep a friendship.
How
to keep a friendship connected and how to keep a friendship, you know, how to keep that connection going. And this was a conversation around the table and it was text once a week, call once a month and get together. I think of it as text, call, come, and come together once a quarter. And I love that because now, you know, some of my really, we text more than once a week. We do.
Well, you text me a lot during the workday.
I do. And he never texts me back. I'm like, what are you doing? Where are you? And about like 4 o'clock, he'll be like, I have been at work.
Wait, I actually have a story from this week.
Okay.
Leanne was texting me and she's like, what are you doing? She's texting me stuff about this. What are you doing? And it's like the middle of the workday. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, Leanne, today a child brought a pregnant cat on the bus. So my morning started at 8:30.
A Maine Coon.
So it started at 8:30 in the morning with me getting on the bus with our assistant principal. And she says, so-and-so brought a cat. And in my mind, I thought it was a kitten. Because kids bring little animals. And so I nonchalantly grabbed the book bag from her hand. And as I was walking towards the school, it started going and like wrestling around. And it wedged its way out and started running around the parking lot where all the buses were pulling in, rolling in, with about 300 kids watching.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, did the mugs come in? Like, I've got the dish rags to fold and put in them.
Meanwhile, the fifth grader on the bus is screaming, "You guys let my cat go." And I was, so she's like, "How's your day been? Why aren't you texting me back?" And I was like, "Well, Leanne, we caught a pregnant Maine Coon cat that was about 12 pounds. And we're also in a discipline situation. So I've been a little busy."
Yeah, yeah.
We don't understand. Well, one thing I would love to see our friendship grow into is just an understanding of my life. I don't feel seen or understood by you many times.
Thank you for the bells.
That feels really affirming.
Also, I do this to my boys all the time. I'll call them, and because I'm calling them during the day, they answer because they think it's probably something important. A lot of times it's not. And I'm calling them about, like, I'm thinking about the menu for Christmas. Or what do you want for Christmas? And they're like, I'm like, hey, what are you doing? And this is their favorite thing now. And when they tell the story, it's so funny. They're like, Mom, we have jobs. We're at work. And then Joey has started saying, I'm just gonna say this right out of the gate. Like, are you calling just to chit chat, or do you really need some? I mean, or do you, is this important? Do you really need something? I said, oh, to chit chat. He's like, I'm gonna have to call you later.
So, I understand them.
You do.
So I apologize on our friendship that I don't text you right away, but I do usually get to it about 4 o'clock.
You do. You're very prompt about that. Yeah, you don't wait days.
When you think about the friends in your life, you know, we asked our friends some specific questions.
Yes.
Can you remind me of the questions that we asked them?
We asked them not the three most important things, but we asked them things that they felt were important in adult friendship.
Yeah. And one of the things that came back was the ability to gracefully pick up where you left off.
Yeah, yes.
I think in adult friendships, you all know, because you've lived life, you may have had a sick parent, you may have had a sick child, you may have gone through something in your marriage, you may have moved, you may have switched jobs. And those friends that can hold space for you in silence and not hear from you for a week, for a month, and then when you call them and it feels like a warm hug where you're like, we just picked up where we left off.
I know, it's so good.
Those friends are gold.
Yeah,
like, so keep good. Those friends, because they understand you and they see where you are and they can just jump right back into life.
Something, Emily, we asked this around the table when we were having dinner. And one thing, do you remember what Em said?
Yeah. About knowing yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, our friend Emily said
a counselor, so... I mean, it was a great answer.
Her response was, one of the best gifts you can bring into a friendship is knowing yourself and not expecting to be filled by the other person. Yeah. And I think that goes true for any relationship marriage or in a friendship, is that we're not looking for other people to fill us, that we know who we are and we bring our best selves to them so that we can have a really rich friendship.
Okay, I'm going to tell one last story and then we can wrap it up.
Yeah.
And you can give your parting shot because I know you love that. So we have had a great friendship. We have.
I don't know what you're going to say. I feel like I'm going to cry.
Am I
going to cry?
Probably.
Okay.
But our friendship hasn't been perfect.
No.
And when there's been hard things for us, like, usually it's because of me. But there was a time, it might have been a year or two ago, I can't really remember, but I did something that just really hurt your feelings. And I knew it hurt his feelings, and I felt so bad. And I apologized, and I said I was sorry, but I knew that it was more than just saying I was sorry. So about a week and a half passed, and I was like, oh, I just feel still so bad about this, and I know that I really hurt you. And he's like, hey, can I come over sometime in the next few days? And I'm like, sure. And I told Daryl, I just know this is going to be a conversation about what I did. And, you know, I come from a tough family. So I was bracing myself, you know, like, for just an argument or a fight, or bracing myself to defend myself and to... I don't know, maybe even scream. I wasn't sure. And not that you would do that, but that's my story, right? Those are my things that my expectation in some ways. And Matt came over and I made a coffee and we sat down. He goes, hey, I just need to talk to you about what happened. And he's like, and I just want you to know that I'm here because I love you and I care about our friendship. And what you did just really hurt. It like really hurt me, and it just made me feel like you didn't value me. And the way he presented it made me feel like I could have a conversation with you about it, and I could just say, I know, I know that I hurt you, and I'm so sorry, and I am going to try so hard not to have that happen again. And you modeled something to me with that experience, that in difficulty or challenge with a friendship, that you came to me in, like, I'm just so thankful, Matt. Like, you came to me with just kindness and love for me. And because you didn't want anything to be between us.
Yeah.
And so you were just so humble. Like, you were really humble. You basically said, you know, I'm not a perfect friend. He kind of is. That I'm not a perfect friend. I don't do everything right. And, you know, you were just humble. And it really postured things that I could just truly be so sorry and make it right. Because, listen, friendships aren't always easy, right? And sometimes there's miscommunication or mistakes or hurt feelings or whatever. And I just think that that modeled something for me
that
was so healthy.
Yeah.
Because we've both been in therapy and truly.
Yeah.
And it really is helpful to know how to just process and really make, you know, really handle something that's a challenge. And I really feel like we've been stronger friends or better friends since after that.
Yeah.
And I've never done it again.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's got, if it's what I think it is, it's gotten better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
That's so kind. And I think this isn't my parting shot, but what that reminds me of is the tone or posture that you set in a friendship. As the friend, whichever side you're on, the posture that you bring to a friendship is often mirrored and reflected.
Oh, so true.
So if you are going to someone in love and humility, the hope is that if someone's a healthy person or a receptive person, that they're going to reflect that back and mirror that back.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes in really any relationship, the posture that we go into, if it's aggression, you're probably going to get aggression back. Or if it's defensiveness, you're probably going
to
mirror that and reflect that back to you. And so I think that's part of friendship and relationships is take into the friendship what you hope to get out of it.
And it's also part of just being a healthy person.
Totally.
Like, I think you being around healthy people, but also pursuing counseling, you know, me having been in counseling, trying to be a better you.
Yeah.
Like, I do think getting to know yourself's important, but also just trying to be the healthiest person you can be.
Totally.
And then be around people that say, that I told Mallory something the other day and she's like, no. That, you know, and that's just helpful. That's 100%. Helpful to make you better inside. And then when you're better inside, you're a better friend.
Yeah. Well, here's my parting shot. And
oh,
it's from my new friend, Sarah, because I think it's so important. It's friendship is a privilege, not an entitlement.
Yeah.
And I guess my parting shot to that is you are not owed a relationship with a friend.
Right.
You know, I think sometimes in family relationships, we think there's some tie that we have to maintain.
Right.
In friendships, there's no tie. These are the people that you're choosing to bring in your life.
Right, right.
And I think the way that you handle them and the way that you treat friends in your life has to be precious.
Yeah, that's good.
Because you are, there's no tie.
Yeah, that's good.
And so I think when you feel entitled to a friend and you think you can say or do whatever it is you want, or you can behave badly in a friendship, you don't get to keep that forever. It's such a privilege to have a good friend.
It's true.
And so I guess that's my parting shot is those privileged friendships that you have, treasure them and treat them well, because I think it will serve you in the long run to have old friends.
Yeah,
that's
good.
How you keep old friends
and
you make old friends
is
keep them close and keep them precious.
It's true.
Hey, let's talk about food.
Listen, we
let's
talked about getting an actual jingle done for that, but we decided we just love our voices.
We don't want to do that.
We may.
Simon Cowell may call us.
Yeah, actually, you're actually a really good singer. I kind of.
You do bring me down. You do. But it's okay. It's for the pod. Someday I'll sing for real.
You're good at it.
Here's what we have to say. We talk about Walnut Creek Cheese and Market often.
Yes.
One, because we just love them.
We do.
For our podcast event, they gave us beautiful charcuterie board with wonderful meat and cheeses.
Yes.
But I think the prize is when we talked about Bring Maple or Don't Come at All, we said, hey, you guys, we talk about this a lot. Actually, they had some teachers go through and
tour. Yeah, Sandy's here.
They had teachers go through and tour, and they were saying, Bring Maple or Don't Come at All to the employees. And we're like, well, that's on Matt and Leanne's podcast. Hello.
I know. And what was so great is the owner happened to be in the room. And so he ran into me later. He's like, yeah, we were giving some teachers some tours, and they were like quoting your podcast.
Yeah, that's
right.
And
I'm like, yes.
And so something special for tonight that they did for us is they made these big maple cinnamon rolls in an individual package that everyone's going to get to take home.
They're going to be so good with coffee tomorrow morning.
I know, right? And so we are so thankful for Walnut Creek Cheese and Market. They sponsored this event with charcuterie food and cinnamon rolls and our mixer that we're going to give away tonight. And so we're so thankful for their partnership and that they just never say no.
What was it you said? We've loved them.
We've loved them long and we've loved them strong.
Yes.
And we're thankful.
So true.
So Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, we're thankful for you. Well, hey, whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that
these are good days. This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.